I mentioned a while ago we had a good friend, Brother Jack Saragasaway. He's our friend from up Asheville, North Carolina. They get to come to camp meeting sometimes, and sometimes they're busy. But we've been friends for a long time, and I had invited Brother Jack to come by when he had opportunity, and we made this plan for this weekend. And so I'm sure glad that Brother Jack Gasaway's here. He's pastor of Richland Baptist Church up Asheville, North Carolina. Is it 30 years? 29. On 31. 31 years, pastor the same church, Richland Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina. Will you welcome this morning Brother Jack Gasaway as he comes to share with us this morning? And I thank the Lord for him being here. God bless you, Brother Jack, my good friend. Amen. Brother Jack, the podium's here. And if you're going to, me and you, old as we are, if you're going to run, this is the place to run, down the ramp. Love you.
Love you, bud. Bless you, bud. Brother Billy told me last night, he said, now, Brother Jack, when you come over here this morning, he said, now, we're going to have all this up, and we're going to have heaven in the church. And he said, by the way, that's as close as you're ever going to get to heaven. So, I tell you what, this would be a great time for somebody to get married, yeah. Wouldn't it? Or get buried. This is really good. I really like this, and Regina, it's good to see you up and well, honey. Amen. I'll tell you what. When you said for better or worse, Brother Billy, you didn't know how worse it's going to get, did you? But now we're down here. I wanted to come see Carolina win a football game last night, but that didn't happen. That didn't happen, and to think I paid good money for that. Boy, that place was crammed full of. Billy, I had the preacher's urge last night. I really want to do something religious last night with that bunch. I wanted to take up an offering. See, I'm looking at all them folk, you know, and I'm not seeing folk. I'm seeing dollars. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to Luke. Very, very familiar story this morning. You're going to know all about it by the time you get there. In chapter 10. We're going to begin reading at verse 30. Would you stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of the Word of God? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on by the other side. But certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went and bound him up in wounds and poured in oil and wine. And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, and he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You may be seated. I'm going to preach to you just real briefly this morning on when you're wounded, because we're living in a time when all of God's children are wounded. Something bad happens to God's children every day. Unexpected circumstances come our way, and we're not planned on it. We're not looking for it. We get up and go about our business, and it just happens. The Bible says that this man was on a journey, and he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. I don't believe that man intended to fall among thieves that day. I don't believe that was his intention. I believe he was on his way to do some business or go home. He might have lived in Jericho. Jericho was the city of the priests. That's where the priests lived. And they came up out of Jerusalem, out of Jericho into Jerusalem to do their service. They had a period of time that they served each year, and then they went back home and spent the rest of the year with their families and with whatever they were doing for a living. But this man was on his way on a journey, and he just, something happened that he wasn't expecting. Anybody here ever had that happen to you? Amen? Just something happened that you were not expecting. You were doing God's will. You were in God's perfect will. And you were going about doing what God wanted you to do. And something happened. Something bad happened. How many in here this morning has had bad things happen to you before? Raise your hand. We're all card-carrying members of the Adamic race, aren't we? My friend, by now I'm sure most of you have learned this, that things are going to happen. And there's nothing that we have any control over, it seems like. This man here, it just happened to him. If he lived in Jerusalem, he kissed his wife and his children goodbye that morning and went out the door. I remember in 1967, a phone call came to my house, and it was my sister-in-law. And she said, "Jack, I hate to tell you, but Don died tonight." That was my oldest brother. I rushed over to the house, found out what had happened. And she said he was going to a Lions Club meeting, and he come home from work. He ran out the door. He got his stuff. He ran out the door, and he didn't even kiss me goodbye. And he said, "Honey, I'll be back in just a while." And while at that meeting, they got together in the gym playing basketball, and he was running up and down the floor, and he just dropped dead unexpectedly. I had to go knock on my mother's door at 11 o'clock that night and get her out of bed and tell her that her eldest son had died. Just like that, it happens. It just happens. And we get wounded. You know where you get wounded a lot of times, friend? You get wounded in church. Amen? You'll get wounded at home. Right? You'll get wounded down on the job. A lot of different places that you can get wounded at. This two fellows here that we're looking at mainly this morning, the man that fell among thieves, the victim, and the Samaritan, are as far as different as they can possibly be. Number one, there is a racial difference. The Jew, he's full-blooded. This Samaritan's half-blooded Jew and a half-blooded Gentile. Don't have time to go into why that is, but it goes back 300 or 400 years during the time of the Babylonian captivity when all that took place. But there is a racial difference. But also there's a religious difference also. There's a religious difference. Remember the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well in John chapter 4? What was the conversation over? It was over worship. She was Samaritan, he was a Jew. And they were arguing, or not arguing, but discussing worship. And Jesus told her salvation is of the Jew. The reason for that, because the Samaritans had set up their own religious system akin to Judaism. And they even had erected their own temple and gone about serving God in their own way. And there was a religious difference. But then there's a responsibility difference also. Look at it. The priest comes by. That's a brother laying there. That's a brother. But you know why that priest didn't touch him? He's bleeding. And if that priest touched that man, And he was probably on his way to Jerusalem to serve his time in the temple. He would have become defiled and would not have been able to do his duty. The Levite came by and did the same thing. And the same thing applies to the Levite. He would have been defiled. But here comes an old Samaritan, half-breeded. He just stops. If you look at it real quick, I don't have time to go into it, but there's 9 things that this Samaritan does. By the way, 9's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. But he does all these things, you know. He helps this guy out. Now, when you're wounded, the dictionary tells us that a wound is an injury to the body that it goes deeper than just a cut. Soldiers get wounded. Soldiers are shot at and they're wounded in combat. And it takes a long, long time for a wound to recover. One of my deacons was in World War II, and he said, we were just standing around, preacher. He said, they had told us not to do that and said we were stupid. We didn't pay attention to what they told us. And the Germans lobbed over a shell. And he said, man, it got us. He said, I got wounded. He said, it was months. It was months. I was in recovery for months. And when you get wounded, you don't recover just like that, do you? Well, I want to tell you 3 things this morning. We'll hurry on. Number one, when we are wounded, we're not killed. When you're wounded, now remember this, you are not killed. The Bible says this man was only half dead. You know what that meant? He was still breathing. Huh? He is still breathing, and he was probably still groaning. When you're wounded, concentrate on the problem, but don't let that consume you. But emphasize the possibility. My dad came home one evening from the field working years ago, back in the early 50s. He said, get ready, son. We're going to get our hair cut and get ready to go to church this morning. And we went and got our hair cut, got a 5-cent Coke. Anybody remember when a Coke cost 5 cents? Huh? Down at the barbershop. And they didn't have electric clippers in. They had hand clippers. We got our hair cut. We come home, took our bath in the number 10 tub. Anybody ever done that? Huh? And during the night, I heard my mother up. And she was up all night. And I got up the next morning. My dad was sick. Couldn't go to church that morning. The next day he was sicker. The next day he was sicker. She called the doctor. The doctor came out. He worked with him for weeks. Some disease had struck him, and right here in the groin, it eat out the socket in his hip. And all that old mess and stuff broke through the skin and just came piling out, and it ran for months. And there was a stench in the house, and it was terrible. And he went up to Baptist Hospital, and they put him in a cast, and he went down to 120 pounds. He looked like a skeleton. He couldn't work anymore. He couldn't do this or do that. And for the rest of his days, he never knew another day without a limp. His leg was stiff. His leg was stiff, and he couldn't do what he used to do. But I watched him. Brother Billy loved to plow a tractor. He couldn't get in that tractor like he used to. So what did he do? He made those gear shifts longer. He stretched that seat back further. Thank you, sir. He stretched that seat back further. See, he couldn't bend his leg like that and push the clutch anymore. His leg was stiff. But he figured out a way where he could almost lay down, Billy, and with that stiff leg, push that clutch on that tractor. And he, you know what he did? He had a problem, but he knew he had a possibility. Now listen, you may be wounded, but you're not killed. Amen? You're not dead. When we're wounded, number two, help will come our way. Help will come our way. Now, it'll be an unexpected help. Billy, you and I both know this. In the preacher circles, we got our friends, and we feel like that when we get in a jam, we can count on brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so and brother so. And you know what? Sometimes that don't always happen. The least person you ever expect will come. I got to have a new roof put on my house. We had a lot of hail damage. And so I got some roofers to come by. And one guy that got mad at me years ago when I first went to church, he got upset with me. He come by the house the other day and he took a look at the roof. He's a roofer. He sat down out on the front porch and figured that thing out. And he said, "Preacher, I just want to help you. I just want to help you." And I talked to him on the phone and he started crying. He said, "Preacher, you've been good to my family." He said, "When my Mary was up there at the hospital that long, sir," he said, "you were there." And other things. And he said, "I just want to do it." I said, "Are you sure you're going to be able to do it?" He said, "Oh, yeah, and by the way, you got them old type shingles on there." He said, "I'm going to put those architectural shingles on there for you at no extra cost." You see, help will come in an unexpected way. Amen? It'll be unusual help. Who in the world would ever thought a Samaritan would reach? They hated each other's guts. They spit at each other. They despised each other. You talk, there's nothing more hateful than racial hatred. And they hated each other's guts. And here this old boy just went over there and, man, it was just unusual. Unusual help. By the way, it'll be understanding help too. Somebody will understand what you're going through. Amen? Those of us that live long enough, we started out young, we had all our standards, we had all our judgmental attitudes about this and about that. Preachers years ago, we preached against long hair, smoking, girls chewing, dipping. Huh? Oh, did boys do that? Huh? Did Billy do that and you kiss him? Mm-hmm. He didn't chew. You know what used to really amaze me as a kid? I'd go to church and those old grannies, and they wore their hair up and they wore their bonnets and they wore their long dresses and snuff just coming out both sides. And you know what? They'd be the very ones that shout the house down. When us kids would get stung with a bee, you know what we'd do? We'd run to Granny and say, "Granny, spit on it." Amen? Huh? Am I the only one that's old in here this morning? Number three, and I'm through. Oh, let me tell you, just one thing about my dog named Boots. I had a little old dog. He wasn't much of a dog years ago when I was a kid living over here in Kings Mountain on the farm. And we was cutting wheat one day. That crazy dog, he loved to chase rabbits. He chased rabbits like crazy. And he got after a rabbit, and that rabbit ran through the blades of that combine and come out on the other side and didn't get hurt. Well, I guess Boots thought, if the rabbit can do it, I can do it. And he ran through there, and he got his right hind leg cut off. We laid him up on an old tow sack and tried to bind him up the best we figured out. And we'd figure we'll feed him. He'll never be able to walk again. And you know what? It wasn't a couple of weeks till I noticed old Boots getting up. And he hobbled around. And he started hobbling. And then the next thing I noticed, he began to run a little bit on three legs. And I looked out in the field one day, and here went a rabbit running for its life, and here come Boots right behind it on three legs. You see, Boots had, he didn't know that he was wounded. He just knew that he loved to chase rabbits. And when you get wounded, don't forget your love for what you were doing. Amen. Let me hurry on the third thing. When we're wounded, don't become bitter. The one thing that's killing Christians today is bitterness. It really is. It's killing. It's bitterness. Become better. You can be better. Amen. You can be better. You got a choice. You can wallow around self-pity and cry, moan, and groan. And hey, my wife will tell you, these last 3 or 4 years in our Christian life have been the hardest of our life. Look what Billy and Regina have gone through. Everyone in here has got a story you can tell what you've been through. Amen. Amen. And we all know people that are bitter. And they bring an old bitter spirit with them and an old sour spirit. Shows up on their face. They never smile. They never smile. Their lips are closed. Their lips are closed. There's not sweet words come out of their lips anymore. They're bitter. And bitter things happen. There's a story. I don't know exactly where it happened, Brother Billy. But it happened down here in rural North Carolina back in 1969. A pastor got called to a little church. And when he went to that church, everybody was excited about the new pastor coming. His family and all, and they were all excited. The community was excited. And when he went into that church, there was one man that was the head honcho of that church. He wasn't the pastor. And the pastor tried his best to make friends with him and work with him. And it just became worse and worse and worse. And the man became more harder and harder and harder and harder. And the pastor stood his grounds. And then one day that man went out and hired somebody to kill that pastor. And that pastor's daughter has written a book. She said, I finally learned how to forgive the man that killed my daddy. And she's not bitter anymore. Become better. Become bolder. Hey, if you're wounded, you can get away with a lot of things you couldn't when you were healthy. My Lord, there was a miracle happened last night at the ball game. Here me and Sarah come down, you know, and I got to be careful anymore about going down them steps. They're steep as a moose face, you know. And we're going over there, and we got in the wrong stands, you know. And there's a man over there about 40. He's a Duke fan, though. But anyway, he saw that we was in the wrong seat. He got up. He said, "Here, sir, let me help you over here to your seat. Over here, right over here is your right seat." So I guess some good things can come out of Duke, you know. I'm on touchy ground, I can tell it right now. But you know what? You can be bolder. You know what stops most of us? Bashfulness. We're all, but most of us, I was raised comfortable. I really was. My wife will tell you, I didn't like to, where's my wife? She get up and leave? And she'll tell you I was bashful, wasn't I, honey? I really was. Her daddy, you know, one time he invited me to eat at the house, and I was always bashful, but I went and sat down and eat. And then from then on, every time I eat, I eat. And he looked at her one day and he said, "My Lord, woman, don't that boy ever eat at home anymore? Just get a little bolder. Be bold about what you're saying. Don't be mean." As old Sam Sparks used to say, be sweet. Or is that Johnny Cook? One of them says it anyway. And let me finish. Be busy. Be busy. Got a little old boy up there in Asheville. Lives north in Burns. His name's Bud Dillingham. Bud's a paraplegic. He's born that way. Actually, Bud spent his entire life in either a wheelchair or bed. He's about 50-some years old now. But on Monday morning, I can go to my phone, Brother Billy, at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, and the phone will ring. And he'll say, "Preacher Jack, Brother Bud, I hope you and the missus are having a wonderful day. I just love you both to pieces." Now, I'm not the only pastor or person he calls. Bud has notebooks full of people's names. On Monday, he goes through one notebook calling people all day long. On Tuesday, he goes through another phone book. On Wednesday, another, and on Thursday, another, and on Friday, another. He can't get out of bed, but he's busy. He's busy. You see, when we're wounded, we're not killed. When we're wounded, help will come our way. And when we're wounded, just don't become bitter. Become better. Amen. Brother Billy.
Amen. Would you bow your heads, please?
You know, the Lord said, "I've come to bind up the brokenhearted." He's a healer. The help that's on the way comes through individuals, like Brother Jack said. But he's nigh unto those who have a broken heart. He's near to you. There's something about need that draws our Savior. How many of you would say, "Brother Billy, I've been through something"? You've heard Sister Pansy testify. So many of our church family. I mean, before I had my little episode, Regina went through what she went through. I talked over and over again with folk in our church. Just seemed like in our church family in the last few years, so many things. But then I've talked to other pastors and preachers. It's just everywhere. But how many of you say, "Brother Billy, it may be in your family. It may be, you know, family problems. It may be financial. Maybe physical. Maybe that you've been hurt so deeply by somebody you loved." You have to be careful that you don't become bitter. How many of you say, "Brother Billy, I've been wounded"? Would you raise your hand this morning across the building? Just about everybody been wounded. God bless you, and you put your hands down. I want you to know there's help. There's help to help you through it. Sister Pansy said a while ago when she's in the hospital, she didn't see those bright lights everybody talks about. Because there's times you're going to go through some dark, dark days that you don't feel very spiritual. You don't know what's going on. But I want to tell you, the Bible said somewhere standing in the shadows is a Savior who made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And while you're going through that fiery furnace, he's there. When you're going through that thing like the lion's den, he'll be there. He's promised never to ever leave you, forsake you.